Welcome everyone to the very latest Bolt from the Blue podcast. What a firecracker of a game that was against Madrid. We did tell you what was going to happen, Bernard and I told you what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I've recovered, mate. I'm just looking forward to finishing the job off now against that rabble. But we've got to, obviously, we will talk about a certain game in between, which is just as important. But yeah, an interesting night, wasn't it? All emotions were covered, I think, in the Bernabeu, or as I like to call it, the giant foot spa stadium. All the emotions were sort of from despair at one point for me to joyfulness to, yeah, it's all right.
But let's face it, Bernard. I mean, I think considering we're Madrid at the top of their league, we would have taken a draw, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I did say 2-2. I thought both teams would. I thought we'd let goals in, and I thought they'd let goals in. I was just hoping our lads would be on fire. Of course, certain players were, certain players weren't. But I think we were a bit overly. We were worried because we did say they were better than they were last season, and we did say we're not quite as good as we were last season. So yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, I would have actually got 11 out of 11 if Mr. KDB had not had food. I think they tried to food poison him, didn't they? And he must have ate something. They must put poison in it, those Real Madrid.
Yeah, what happened to him? I don't know.
He was poorly. Yeah, apparently he was poorly. He was throwing up. So I think the old Spanish chefs had put something in the paella, you know, some poison in it or something to try and nobble us. Not only did they want to shut the roof, have everyone wearing white, but they tried to poison KDB as well.
Well, let's run through that lineup, Bernard.
Yeah, let me get it up. I've got it here somewhere. Right, yep, the City lineup, as I said, I did have, of course, KDB in, but the guy to replace him seemingly was Kovacic. We'll talk about that. I would have probably gone with Nunes or Lewis myself, but hey, I'm not, you know, Pep, isn't he? Not doing with me. Ortega, Akanji, Stones, Diaz, Gvardiol, Rodri, Kovacic, Bernardo, Foden, Grealish and Haaland. On the bench, yeah, Ederson, Carson. We'll talk about Ederson, of course, in a minute as well, no doubt. De Bruyne, Doku, Alvarez, Gomez, Nunes, Bob, Sissoko, and Lewis. So, yeah, as I said, I got 10 of those, and the one I didn't get was KDB. So I think it was more or less our strongest team, Mike. I don't think anything different to that. It was just Ederson or Ortega for me. And I did come down on the side of Ortega, thinking about what he's been doing. I think it was the right thing to do. As games continue, of course, it might not always be the right thing to do. At some stage, Ederson's going to get a bit pissed off, isn't he, mate? Let's be honest about it.
Well, I'm a bit confused there, Bernard. When someone is on the bench, does that not mean that they're technically fit to play?
I think with Kevin, I think because he was throwing up on the way to the ground. I mean, it's like, you know what it's like, Mike. If you throw it, sometimes you feel a lot better, don't you? If you throw up a couple of times. And obviously, if we were struggling, perhaps the idea was if he did feel better, he could come on for 20 minutes or something like that. So I think that's why they kept him on the bench.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, this game was, as I said before, a firecracker. And it was only like 2 or 3 minutes before we had the first goal, Bernd.
Yeah, I mean, you just sort of run through the Madrid team. I don't know if there was any.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that.
I mean, I can give you a go, mate. You know my pronunciations, but I'll do my best. Of course, I don't know much about the goalkeeper Lunin. I haven't, of course, the last time.
I don't know where he came from at all.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, the last thing I knew was Coutinho, of course, but he's obviously, has he retired? I don't even know that. Has he retired now, Coutinho?
I would guess. He's been farmed out.
Yeah, I mean, he was knocking on a bit, wasn't he? Anyway, they had Lunin, Carvajal, the thug, Rudiger, I call him, the thug, Tchouameni, Mendy, Camavinga, Valverde. They say cross, don't they? I say cruise, but they say, I know it's a commentator say cross, so I don't know which one's which. Of course, the superstar that is Bellingham, of course. Rodrigo, Vinicius Jr. So that was their starting 11, which, you know, I was a bit... We'll talk about the tactics. I thought Ancelotti missed a trick with this, mate, with that starting lineup. Of course, we'll talk about our goal first and then talk about how they quickly took the lead. But if you think of Rodrigo's pace and Vinicius Junior's pace and our back four, it was a little bit scary, mate, wasn't it? Looking at it in isolation, I was panicking a little bit. But we didn't need to panic, did we? Because within a couple of minutes, Bernie had stuck one in the far corner from a free kick. Have you ever seen such a poor defensive lineup for a free kick, Mike?
Not much. I mean, you did mention in the last pod about the threat of Rodrigo. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But that was weird. That was like a Kevin De Bruyne free kick, actually. But they're obviously working on this, Bernie.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird though, isn't it? I mean, the natural instinct, it wasn't that far away from goal not to have a wall. I mean, I remember even at my level, it was about 35 yards. I didn't bother with a wall, but I think it was a little bit nearer than that. I was a bit puzzled by the decision just to not, they looked a bit disorganised, which of course, perhaps the roof on and the white shirt sort of disorientated the Real Madrid players. I'm not too sure, but they just weren't ready. They just weren't ready for it, were they? And of course, Grealish had won the foul, hadn't he? He'd drawn a foul from that Tchouaméni, who obviously got booked straight away. No doubt we'll mention the referee who I thought had a crack. If we can have him every European game or every Premier League game as well, I'd be quite happy having him. But, he drew the foul. And then Bernardo just, of course, the referee must have motioned that he could take it. Because I've had this before, haven't we? I remember KDB a few seasons ago taking a quick free kick and scoring, and the referee pulled it back because he hadn't given him permission to do it. So Bernardo must have spotted or got the permission to do it. But as I say, the Real Madrid wall and defence was in complete disarray. The keeper managed to get back, didn't he? Managed to get back across. I think he could have even been still lining his wall up. I wasn't sure, but he managed to get a glove on it. But it was 1-0, and we couldn't have asked for a better start, really, could we?
You couldn't ask for a better start. And actually, it's weird, isn't it? Because I mean that one of the ones that gave that away, Tchouaméni, was one that I have always coveted for Man City. He's obviously not going to come, but
I was looking at one of the Spanish journalists, and he was saying, even though Tchouaméni as an individual is a good defender, but it's the fact of his partnership at the back that they're going to struggle now in the second leg, because he's obviously going to miss it now, isn't he, with being getting that booking. So they are a little bit, you know, obviously they're worried anyway, because they know what they're coming to when they come to ours next week. But of course, this guy, although he's not the most outstanding, I think as part of that unit, he's very, very good. You know, he's a big part of it.
Well, Pep and Ancelotti making nice before the game, all hugs and kisses and everything. I think he's probably the, you know, after Pep, probably the most sought after manager that you would want for your team. If you could,
how old is he, Mike? Do you know how old he is?
He's 65, I think. 65, 66.
How old would you say that's old for a manager these days?
Not really, not anymore.
And I'm just thinking, when Pep goes, mate, would you be interested?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, there's probably quite a good few young managers who've not proven it. This is a guy who's been there, done and dusted, you know, wrote the book and read it, hasn't he? He's done everything in football. A great thing. Whether it would suit the style of what we aim to do going forward, of course, it depends on the back room as well, doesn't it? Well, you know, if those guys are going to retire the same time as Pep, that's the problem. So, yeah, I agree with you. If you need a steady hand, of course, that's why Everton took him on, didn't it, originally? That's why they wanted him there. But, of course, that all fell to ruin, unfortunately, for him.
Well, 65, 66 is not particularly old for a football manager.
No, I'm 65 this year. I feel like a spring chicken. Not really.
Do you want a promotion, Bernard?
Well, I keep trying to get Pep to listen in. You know, as I said, I was when KDB wasn't playing, I didn't think Kovacic was the right way to go. I thought he perhaps should have stuck Lewis, took a chance on Lewis or Nunes. But of course, with Rodri playing, you wouldn't have thought that Kovacic would be the automatic choice to make for me. Anyway, I thought you need a little bit more either legs or a bit more skill in there rather than Kovacic sort of.
But I told you that was going to happen because they needed that defensive cover, and I think it was well valued.
There's no pace, is there? That's what worried me. There's no pace in the back four. There's no pace in Rodri. There's no pace in Kovacic. So that's why I watched someone like Lewis with the legs to actually cover the thing, you know, and use his experience, because I did worry about that side of it a lot. But of course, automatically, I would say Kovacic, yeah, every time. But I just thought in that particular game, we perhaps needed a little bit more. Because on the day, I don't think Kovacic and Rodri performed, you know, anything like what they should be performing anyway, did they really?
No, exactly. And anyway,
we got the 1-0 lead, and of course, it didn't last long, did it, mate?
it didn't last long because Camavinga, and this was a wicked deflection, I think. Yeah. You would say, tell us about that, Bern.
Was it classed as an own goal, mate? The commentator did say that it was.
Yeah, it was a Ruben Diaz own goal.
Yeah, I mean, you can't legislate for them. This is, and I've said it before on your channel and my own and stuff and Ray's. When Bernardo gets in and around the box, he has a crack usually, and I like it because his shots can take deflections. And when you sort of got nothing happening like that, I mean, Camavinga just hit it. It wasn't going anywhere. Simple as that. But the trouble is, of course, they must have been watching Ruben, because he has a tendency of putting his arms behind his back and making himself big to get the blocks in, doesn't he? So, of course, it wasn't doing anything. It was just a wicked, you think of the Arsenal goal that they beat us at the Emirates early in the season. It just wasn't going anywhere, and it was just very, very lucky. It wouldn't have bothered Ortega. Ortega would have just picked it up or just seen it past the post. It wouldn't have been a problem whatsoever. But if you're in and around that box and you have a crack, there's a chance it's going to get a deflection. That's why sometimes I wish we shot a little bit more in and around the box than we do sometimes. But did they deserve it? Probably not. I think we had a reasonable chance to go 2-0 up before that. I think there was Haaland had a great shot after about 7 minutes, then Grealish got his shot scrambled away. He got his shot blocked and scrambled away. So we had a little bit on the rack. They hadn't settled down, of course, after losing the goal. And I think that gave them the crowd and themselves then that push, didn't it? And it was just lucky. It was just lucky, mate. Simple as that.
Well, talking about lucky, a couple of minutes later, they went 2-1 up. And that was another deflection. And that just, you know, it made me go crazy. It was... it was Rodrigo, the person that you had mentioned in the last pod that was a danger, but it was another deflection. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, he picked it up in his own half, didn't he, mate? I think he picked it up in his own half and ran all the way. Of course, our guys were desperately trying to get back. Akanji and of course Diaz was on his tail. And of course, it just seemed to be. I think was it heel? Was it Akanji's heel? It sort of hit. Ortega made himself big, but it was that close to him. He just didn't have time to react. So unless it actually just physically hit him, it was a goal, and it was so agonisingly crept over the line. There wasn't any power in it, was it? It just sort of stumbled over the line, and you know, two goals in 2 minutes. It was like history repeating itself, wasn't it? But we still had another 76 minutes to play. So I was a bit gutted, but of course Real were bouncing, of course, the team and the fans at that stage. And I honestly thought, Mike, at that stage, we could get battered here if we're not careful, if we don't get a grip of this and giving them this room. And I think, before I forget, I want to talk about Ancelotti before. When you've got players like Rodrigo and Vinny Jr., and you've got a back four like us, and you've got a defensive midfielder like Rodri, and a guy playing more defensive like Kovacic, there was no offsides in this game for either team. No offside.
I didn't know that at all.
Zero offside. So I thought Ancelotti, what he would have done with Rodrigo of course, and Vinny Jr. on the other side, as have them standing on the shoulder of the City defenders, because they could beat them for pace. So they take chances, you know, try and play the percentages, try and get in behind. You know, I mean, obviously this one, he came from his own half. He wouldn't have been offside anyway. But I was dead surprised, because once that second goal went in, they seemed to sort of take the foot off the gas, and they didn't sort of try to take advantage of it. And I was happy about it, because I thought at that stage, God, we could get battered here. But all of a sudden, Rodrigo, you know, I think perhaps Pep might have had a word with the defence, I don't know, but all of a sudden they didn't seem to be willing to get down the sides. And I think Ancelotti and Real Madrid missed a little bit of a trick, because I think they could have got at us a little bit better than they did.
Mm-hmm. It is, and you know, we were. I think most of us were frightened at that stage. We were thinking, this is not going to end well.
And the thing is, I think they had two good breaks, didn't they? After that, I've only got a couple of key moments. Then after that, it was the Rodrigo when he went down the left, and Vinny Jr. when he went down his side, and the both shots ended up going straight at Ortega. So we sort of got away with it, even though, of course, but that was it, really. It's as though when they went 2-1 up, they were seemingly, for me, they were seemingly happy, and that's a big, big mistake against a team like it's a team of City's qualities. You can't just sit on a 2-1 against someone like us, you know, and hope that you might nick one or something like that. Defend, because they did show a bit of positivity, but I thought the actual vim went out of Real Madrid once they did go 2-1 up. I don't think they pushed it, and I think we just needed to recalibrate and get through to half time, I think.
And that's exactly what we did. I was frightened because, you know, obviously the way things have been going this season, we've been conceding goals, and I was thinking, we're in terrible trouble here. But 20 minutes into the second half, Phil Foden, what a season he is having, and what a bloody goal that was.
Yeah, well, you could see the tide turning in the second half, couldn't you, Mike? We were starting to dominate. We were starting to control the ball. I think we ended up with about 68-69% possession of the ball. But we were reasonably effective. And they were doing what I expected them to, try and get us on the break. I think Stones made an error that Vinny Jr. should have perhaps done a little bit better with, but his left foot shot went wide of the post. Foden would give a ball away. Of course, Bellingham had had an effort as well that went wide. So they'd had chances, but it seems as though it was only a matter of time before we'd score. But of course, it would take a fine goal, as you say, Foden. It's just that little movement he make. I mean, of course, Stones is involved, wasn't he, in that one? Was Grealish involved in it as well? And it's just that little allowance he makes to sort of nudge it to his left, isn't it? He sort of gets that, he's so good at that, where he sort of not dummies it, but he sort of lets it settle, let the ball do the work, and that's what he did superbly. And what a cracking goal! Of course, there's probably another good goal to come, two good goals to come, but at that stage, that was of course the best goal of the match so far.
It absolutely was, and then, you know, at that particular point, when you're thinking, okay, this is settled down, Gvardiol doesn't score goals, as far as I can see.
No.
But this was a firecracker of a goal.
I do worry now, because Gvardiol will be shooting from every bloody angle. He can now, won't he? You know, in the upcoming games, you won't be able to stop him. It's like Walker. When Walker scores a goal once every 3 years, all of a sudden he starts shooting from every angle, every distance he can. And I'm a bit worried about Gvardiol will start doing this. But, yeah, I mean, you can't take that away from him. What a fantastic finish. It's the sort of thing, of course, cutting in from the left and put it on your right. Again, good. Yeah, the other one actually was, it was Bernardo, not Grealish, had been involved in that first goal, that Foden goal, because it was Foden and Grealish who got involved in this one. But I call him a smooth bastard, Gvardiol, and it was certainly a smooth goal, wasn't it? Absolutely superb. I just like Gvardiol. He's just like butter on the pitch, isn't he? So he just, you know, spreads himself and looks so cool, and that beard. I mean, he looks like Desperate Dan from the Dandy, is it? Dandy.
Yeah, like exactly.
Desperate Dan, but there's nothing desperate about that goal, mate. That was for sure.
I didn't think he had it in him.
No. I don't think anyone did. I think the City players, it was a bit like Vinny won it against Leicester. I think the City players were probably thinking, don't shoot Guardiola, but no, he brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, no keeper in the world's getting near that Foden one or the Guardiola one.
But it gave everyone a lot of confidence, I tell you what. And we were kind of thinking, okay, well, here we go.
Did you dream, Mike, we could get away with a win at that stage?
No, I didn't. I'm too old and bitten in the tooth. But obviously, it turned out to be a correct judgment, because what was it like 6 minutes later, Valverde?
Guardiola was about 70 minutes, and they got the 79 minutes. And again, it didn't come from much, did it? Perhaps, did you think we've sort of a bit lax on the far post, not marking Valverde?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I assume that was Guardiola's responsibility from what I could see to be across there. I mean, this level of football, I mean, I know it's a brilliant, absolutely fantastic, fabulous technique, brilliant. I think that was nicked a word from the Guardian, fabulous technique he showed. And it's just something you see done in training, in a match scenario, you wouldn't see it, you know, probably what, 9 out of 10, it wouldn't even get on target, but it was just brilliant. You couldn't take anything away from it. It was Ortega, absolutely not a cat in hell's chance of stopping that one. And as I said, it's a shame that it just got a bit, he had that space, didn't he? But I do tend to find we do let players have a little bit of space in and around the wide areas around the box. So it was a bit of a mistake, but you can't take anything away from Valverde, a superb goal at that stage. I think 3-3 probably overall, I think it was a fair reflection of how the game had gone.
Yeah. I mean, you can take away that was just a great shot from Fede Valverde, and he's another one that we didn't talk about too much before in the last pod. But he's a threat, and that was a great goal. There's no doubt about that. But tell you what, I'd take it.
Yeah,
3-3.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I think most of us, based on, of course, last year and this year, a draw every day of the week, and away goals don't count now, so it's back to 0-0 for the Etihad, and let's hope we can create the atmosphere we created for the semi-final second leg last year. Let's hope there's not too many of the camera, you know, picture takers in, and there's a lot more loyal fans in taking the, you know, watching the game rather than taking pictures of themselves on the ground.
Yeah, I know. But I think that we're all kind of like satisfied at the end of that. I mean, obviously we would have liked it to have gone a little bit differently, but I think we're all happy with it.
I don't think I've seen a single person say they're not happy with it. The only person I've seen is the certain people in the media have been saying, you know, well, we had a chance, we should have won it because we were in the lead and all this rubbish. But I mean, you know, you can't do that. I've not seen any City fan who's not reasonably happy with that. I'm sure the team was happy. I'm sure Pep's happy with that. Can we have a quick word about Mr. Francois Letexier? How about him? What did you think of him?
Let's go ahead.
Well, the referee, but you tell me what you thought, mate, because he obviously didn't mess around, did he? He booked a player straight away within a minute, which was great. And then he didn't sort of really, well, he booked four in total, didn't he, by the end. But do you think that was to put his sort of marker down, and then obviously both teams reasonably behaved after that?
I don't know. He reminded me of an old sort of like college schoolmaster, you know, who was determined to put his mark on the game. You don't get many of these refs anymore, but he wanted to be the star of the show, it seemed, as far as I could see.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, he seemed to let a lot. He did let a lot go, but obviously, I don't think it was. I think it's more physical last year from memory. I don't think it was bit petulant, of course. Mr. Bellingham's, we know he's a petulant guy anyway when things aren't going right. Rudiger behaved himself reasonably. We'll talk about a couple of the players as well. Haaland, of course, not the greatest game again. Didn't have many chances, not much created for him. I think the highlight of his match is when he come legging it back, wasn't it, near the end of the game and took the ball off. Was it Rodrigo? He took the ball off Vinny Jr., one of the two anyway. He come legging it back. I think that was a highlight of his game, unfortunately, coming back into his own half and making a tackle. So, but, you know, people are picking on Haaland, aren't they, Mike? Would you say, I mean, I didn't rate him, I think I only give him a 5 out of 10, but that's only because he, you know, I'm sure he played his bit off the ball. But, you know, Rudiger to me, I mean, I called him a thug at the start of this, and it's all based on back to KDB and the Champions League final, of course it is, but I have seen him do naughty things anyway. So, obviously, he's a good footballer. He's a talented footballer. When Haaland goes one-on-one with these sort of big guys, I think he should be a little bit cleverer. He's not, you know, all right, he's perhaps not learnt yet. I just think there was one instance where he stood up and he shielded it, ended up getting a free kick just outside the box. I don't know if you remember that one in the second half. But usually Rudiger had him in his, you know, he did really control Haaland very, very well. You know, Haaland couldn't get away, couldn't turn on him or anything. And all right, it's a great footballer, Rudiger, when he does play football, rather than do the other side of his game that I don't like. But do you think Haaland could have done a bit more, mate? Or what did you think?
He's got a bit to learn, I think. Now, the thing is that in the last couple of games, it's been like that. You know, you've got sort of like physical defenders against him. And he needs to, I would say, just learn a little bit of craft, a little bit of sort of nous. But he doesn't seem to have that. He wants to go into these physical battles with big defenders, and you're not always going to win those. And I think
he's just not very good. I mean, he wants the ball put through where he can run onto it, isn't he? When he's having to hold the ball up, he does struggle. You know, he's no Niall Quinn. Niall Quinn was excellent. I thought Niall Quinn, everyone goes about him being a big lad, but I thought he was excellent at holding the ball. Perhaps if you can watch a few videos of Niall Quinn and his pomp.
Absolutely.
He collects the ball and holds it up and lays it off. I think there's, of course, we've got coaches that says you presumably coaching what to do. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's scoring goals for fun. But I think that's just one side of the game. Against teams like that, we've seen it because someone commented about Rudiger. I think he was a Madrid fan. And I said, well, be honest with you, mate, there's a few Premier League sort of average centre-halves have managed that sort of job on him this season. He's no great shakes that Rudiger did it. And, you know, I wasn't being cruel to Haaland. I was just saying that certain games in certain types of plays, Haaland isn't at his best. And when he's like that, he's receiving the ball, he's having to try and shield it. That's when he's not at his best. He's best when he's looking for that space and being fed great balls by KDB through the middle and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's an interesting one with Haaland. I mean,
I know. I mean, you're talking about him. I mean, even Tommy Hutchison had that craft, that nous, being able to get better of the fullback. That's a skill. And
by the time he learns it, he might be blamed for someone else anyway. On if you believe all the rubbish you hear, from the media. Perhaps we won't see the best of Haaland, mate. Imagine that with how many goals he scored. You know, City haven't seen the best of him. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Well, there we go, 3-3, and you would have taken that before the game, Bernard. I know you would have.
All day long, mate. All day long. No problem with that whatsoever.
And we'll do them at the Etihad. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Yeah, well, we've got, I mean, obviously Walker. We'll probably talk about the Luton game before we go, of course. But Walker's, I think, may just make the bench for Luton with a bit of luck. I'm really disappointed that there's no news on Aki in a positive light. I don't see anything, you know, we're not hearing any positive vibes on Aki, and he's a big, big miss for me, as you know. I rate Aki.
You're an enormous fan of him, aren't you?
Well, he's been our best defender. Consistency-wise, you know, he's not foolproof. Of course he's not. He makes mistakes, and what defender doesn't? Simple as that. What player doesn't? And Aki is a hell of a miss. And I'm, of course, he did have a few injury problems a few years back, but he's been doing okay with us. But of course, it's not the first time this season. So I do worry now that he's starting to pick up these little injuries, which is disappointing. I mean, Stones was brilliant. Well, I thought Stones, I think City in the second half, we saw the best of our players. I thought the first half, we struggled a little bit on the other night. But I think in the second half, people like Stones looked really impressive, the Guardiols. Rodri had a poor game. Everyone's talking that he needs a rest now.
He's actually come out in the press and said that he needs a rest.
Well, he's had two bad games. I mean, I think the game before this, was it Arsenal? Not Arsenal, Palace, was it? Palace, he didn't play well against Palace. He's something, you know, he might have lost it, mate. He might not be tired. He might have just lost what he had. It's, you know, we've got to, I'll be devil's advocate, Mike.
He's out of gas. He's completely out of gas. And he needs a rest. He definitely needs a rest. But, I mean, who do you put in there?
People are saying they'll play against Luton and then try and drag him off after 60 minutes. But I think, personally, I don't think he'll start against Luton. I think he will get a rest this week. And I think we've got a good enough team to beat Luton. But, you know, Pep's got a fine balance to make. I don't envy him in, you know, picking what he's going to do now. Of course, you know, it's just one mad game after another now, isn't it, for the next 2 or 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's think about what we've got coming up next, and it is Luton. And
Do you like Luton, Mike? I mean, I'm going back over 40 years now. I've forgiven that now. There's a lot of water under the bridge.
I've only ever been there once.
Well, I mean, that was possibly the first time watching City. Did I cry? I don't know. I can't remember. Probably did. Back in 83, was it?
David Pleat.
So I've forgiven them for that because we've been a lot worse since then, mate. A lot of water's gone under the bridge. But I quite like Luton. I like the fact that they've had a go. You know what I mean? They've not shut up shop at home, especially. They certainly give us a game, didn't they, in that first league match? Not so much in the FA Cup, but that first league match, they had us worried for long. You know, we were lucky to get away with I think it was a 2-1 win, wasn't it, that very first game. But I like the fact that, you know, something perhaps Vinny hasn't done at Burnley. I think he's had more of a go. Vinny's tried to have a go. Of course, he tried to play the City way and he just doesn't have the players. But I think the Luton manager, his name escapes me just at the moment. But I think he's done a cracking job with them. And of course, they're in the third relegation spot still. They closed in on Everton because Everton have lost another couple of points, of course. So they're a bit nearer Everton, but it'll take a mammoth task. There's still other teams here, like Forest, of course, and even Brentford, I think, come into the equation as well. But it's going to take something really big. And once we beat them, I think they've got three sort of games where they might be looking to get a few points. I think I've got them up here somewhere. After they play us, they play Brentford at home, which they might hope to win that one. Then they got Wolves away, who are playing quite well, aren't they, Wolves? So that might be a struggle. But then they got Everton at home. So, you know, they've got to aim for 6 points, and that'll be pretty good for them if they get 6 points from those two games. And of the bottom three, they're the only ones really that have shown any form recently. The other two are more or less gone. So Luton can still get out of it. As I said, I'm not no grudges with Luton.
Guys, I can promise you it will take a lot to get me to go to Luton for any reason. But I think we should win.
I used to go with a lad. He became my brother-in-law, actually. He married my sister a long, long, long time ago. But he used to have a big mate in Luton. So in the 70s and 80s, he used to go and watch Luton sometimes. He's a big City fan, but he used to go and watch Luton Town as well. But I never liked it. I never liked it, I'll be honest with you. But he used to go down there and spend weekends. But it wasn't the sort of thing I wanted to do.
Exactly. So we've got that one, and obviously we've got the return leg against Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, very interested with Luton, what he's going to do. I mean, obviously, I'll give you what I've gone with my Luton starting 11.
That's good. Oh, okay, I'll be very interested in that.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I've made six changes to that team that played over in Madrid. So, but interesting one. Again, Ortega and Edison is a hell of a, you know, what the hell's Pep going to do? I have no idea. I mean, I've stuck Ortega.
Edison is just not fit. So,
well, I think he's fit, mate. I think he's still on the naughty step. Because let's face it, it wasn't just the fact he was injured. It was how he got injured, wasn't it? You know, he was...
Oh, you think there's more to that? Right.
Yeah, I think that, you know what Pep's like, mate. If, you know, we saw it when Gomez got sent off that time. I think when Walker got sent off in Europe that time, he doesn't like it when players do stupid things. And let's face it, Edison did a stupid thing at Anfield. It's as simple as that. And he knows he's got a good number two. So I see. I mean, I can imagine seeing Edison play again now at the FA Cup semi final, which would be normally Ortega because he's the second keeper. But I can imagine I've put Ortega down to start against Luton and Madrid next week. I've got them for both.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it is Edison, I'm not going to be totally surprised. But I'm 51-49% in Ortega's camp at the moment because I do think Pep's trying to not teach him a lesson. But, you know, as I say, it's the only position where usually
Ortega is not the goalkeeper that you want as a number two if you're the number one, because he is very, very reliable.
Well, I thought, how do you think he played against Madrid, Ortega?
I think he was solid. I'm pretty sure that if Derrison had played, there would have been a few ricks.
No. I mean, the only thing, I think his distribution was not quite... When he had to pop it long, you know, had to punt it long. I don't think it was. Having said that, Edison puts him out of play as well when he hits long as well. So, as I said, there wasn't anything in it for me to say to Pep that Ortega should be dropped for this Luton game.
Bernard, there's a rick in Ederson. There's always a rick in him. Will be a great moment, or it will probably cost you a goal.
Yeah. And you know what, mate? I don't think City currently play as in what Pep would expect. You know, I don't think we play the style that suits Edison either. You know, I think we're a different team at the moment. I think Ortega's style doesn't make a lot of difference to us as it would have done probably two or three seasons ago. I think there's a big change, and I've been worrying about Edison's future a little bit over the last two or three weeks. As a fellow keeper, of course, I do care about my keepers, and I do think there's been a sort of sea change, a bit of a change in that. So anyway, I think Ortega will get a start again. If Edison does play, I'm not going to be worried about it. I'll be happy about that. But of course, what's he going to do then, dropping for the Madrid game? It just seems a bit odd. So I'll go with Ortega for this one. In the back four, interesting back four, I've had to play Kanji Diaz because I can't see any other options. So I've had to ask them.
There are no options.
So they've got to play. But I've put Lewis in at right back if Walker isn't available, if Walker can't start, or if Walker needs to be on the bench and come on for a few minutes to get him ready for Madrid. And I've put Gomez on the left.
Really? Okay.
You know, because Gomez can do it. He's let us down. I think he's let us down properly once, and that was that European game that time. But, I mean, it's a long time ago now. So I put him on the left. I'm forgetting Rodri. I'm giving Rodri a rest. I'm not sticking him in, which means...
He's definitely going to get a rest.
So I'm going to stick Kovacic in there as a sort of defensive midfielder. But alongside him, I'm going to give him Nunes alongside Kovacic.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, and there's no reason whatsoever, if Kev, it was a 24-hour bug, there's no reason whatsoever why Kev can't start this instead of Phil Foden, and Kev can't start the Madrid game as well, I don't think.
So let's talk about your attacking lineup for
KDB and Phil, so I'm giving Phil a rest because he took a bit of a kick, didn't he? He got his Achilles trod on, didn't he, at the end of the game. So I put KDB in for Phil, and then my front three, I put Alvarez in.
He needs to come back. Yeah. He's been out of form.
Yeah. No, you could choose either Bob or Doku or Grealish. I'm going to say Grealish for Real Madrid. I've stuck Doku in to start. because he didn't. Of course, Bob got the start last time, didn't he? When it was a choice between them two, and I've got to go with Big Lummox up front, mate, because I think he's just got to play himself into some sort of form and score some goals. And you know, so with KDB playing, I've put Haaland still up top.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
So the bench,
he needs to find his touch again.
Yeah, the bench then would read, and I think Stones probably needs a rest anyway, so he's not going to play, is he? So Stones on the bench, Guardiola on the bench, Rodri on the bench, Bernardo given a rest. I don't think even though he scored the goal, I don't think he was as inventive or as important against Madrid the other night. I've got Foden on the bench to give him a rest if he does feel his Achilles a little bit. I've rested Grealish, who's played very well. I wouldn't be surprised if he played, because I think he needs games anyway. But I've rested Grealish, and of course Bob's on the bench as well. And Walker, of course, I'm hoping he's on the bench with the possibility of getting a few minutes before the Madrid game. And Aki, I think we've had to give up on that one, haven't we, at the moment? I don't think Aki's anywhere near being on the bench.
We just don't have any news on Aki.
No. Some say it's not too bad, but no one's saying what it is. So that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a bad one, unfortunately. But
Luton do tend to score, mate. I just thought they do, even though they get beat, they do tend to score a goal. So I have predicted a 3-1 for this, but I'm hoping a 4-5-6-1 to get the goal difference up. But I'll just go with a 3-1 because I think Luton may score, because they do score goals. But hopefully, I mean, you know, we're still in there, mate, aren't we? We've still got a great chance of winning that Premier League title. So we've got to be, as I say, the 6 changes to Madrid. I don't worry so much about that now as it did probably last 2 or 3 seasons when we make 5 or 6 changes. I think the team's changed. It's more of a team now rather than, you know, we could make 5, 6 changes and look absolute rubbish, but I don't think it makes that much difference these days. So I'm hoping with those changes it'll be good enough to beat Luton anyway.
Well, guys, we faced the best team possible with Ancelotti's Madrid. We got a 3-3 draw, and we didn't look out of place. I think that we're well placed to finish them. I think Etihad.
They'll be worried, mate. I mean, I've been looking through some of the Spanish media, their web pages and stuff, and they know they should have done. I think what was one quote here I got from one of the guys. Let me just have a quick, just got time to find it here. Yeah, he said they were sort of saying about, they were commenting on the fact that Real Madrid were the team to come out, had a 9-day break before this game.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were saying it didn't look, it looked as though City are the team that had the 9-day break, not Madrid. So they're really, really worried, mate. I mean, some journalists actually said it's a daunting task now to get through this. You know, daunting. And, you know, I don't know how histrionic the Spanish media are usually. But, of course, we've got to do it, mate. We've got to do the business. It's all right saying that we're now the slight favourites to do it, but we've got to do it on the night, and I'm sure the guys will be up for it. But
well, guys, I'm
more up for it. Let's beat Luton. I mean, because obviously if it all turns to crap against Luton, I mean, it might affect psychologically what we do, but at this point in time, let's turn Luton over and then go for it.
Well, that's the main objective, but I can give you a prediction now, guys. I'm going to stick my neck on the line and say that Phil Foden will kill Madrid at the Etihad.
Holding KDB, mate. There's a deadly duo for any part. Madrid will be absolutely peeing them, you know, hinting themselves, won't they? They'll be doing themselves worried about KDB coming back. We drew with them without KDB, but once he comes back, they'll start panicking when he gets on the ball.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's another thing. With him coming back as potentially as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing for...
Can the other guy, who do you think will get through? Of course, PSG got beat at home last night, didn't they? 3-2, so that looked...
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arsenal and Bayern's an interesting one, isn't it? That's finally poised, isn't it? What do you think? I mean, Arsenal could nick it over there, you know.
Well, I'm a bit concerned about Arsenal, basically, at the moment, because, you know, They have been relentless this season, and but they do have this history of bottling it. So there is that. So I wouldn't put all my money on them. Although, you know, I'm a huge fan of Tony Adams, and I'm a huge fan of Arsenal's history. But I don't know, Bernard. I wouldn't put my money on them.
Actually, poised. Isn't it? I mean, it is night. It should be. I mean, obviously, presumably they play the same night as us, so we can't. You know, it's the sort of game I'd love to watch. But of course, if we play the same night, I won't be watching it, of course. But yeah, I mean, the other Atletico, isn't it? And Dortmund, that's poised as well, isn't it? I think they got 2-1 win, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, so Dortmund need to do something back at their place. So. But overall, plenty of goals. I think UEFA will be happy, won't they, mate? There's quite a lot of goals scored in the quarter. There's no shady play, was there? Although some games were better than others. There's certainly minimum of 3 goals in every game, so that wasn't too bad. And we're scoring again. We kept up our record of scoring 3 goals in every Champions League match this season, so that's not bad, is it?
Another 3. Well, there's nothing in Europe to worry us. If we can just hold it together.
I think it's odd, isn't it? I think we get a bit more respect from certain teams in Europe now than perhaps we do in our own league. You know, you see teams like Luton having a go at us. You thought that's the way of beating us. That, to me, that's this season anyway. That's the way of beating us. But we go into Europe and we're the champions, the teams are wary of us. And I like that. I like that. It's very much.
Yeah. Well, this has been a good week, guys. This has been a good week. And I think we can take a lot of encouragement from it.
The good news, Mike. I'll tell you the good news, mate. I've managed to wangle a couple of tickets for a couple of away games as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll be at, of course, I'm going to Wembley, which the rest of the 37,000 City fans apparently we sold 37,000 tickets. It's not bad going, is it?
Did you wangle that then?
Well, obviously I've got that. That's not the one I've wangled, because obviously Wembley's no problem. I'm on the cup scheme, so that's all right. But I've got a Brighton ticket, a Brighton away game, and I've got a Forest ticket, Forest away, and I've not been to Forest since the 80s, so I'm looking forward to that. So that's
all.
So Wembley, Brighton and Forest all in the space of 8 days, I think. So I'll be absolutely shattered, mate. So I don't know where I'll be doing my vlogs. I don't know what I'm doing. I've got to work as well. I've got to do extra shifts to make up for shifts I'm having off. So I'll be absolutely, I'll tell you what, by the end of this season, I don't know about Rodri, I'll be buggered as well.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a good point to leave it on. I mean, it's all looking good. It's all looking good. But
play for in those games, mate. We don't let ourselves down. But of course, they're already saying Rodri's going to miss the FA Cup semi-final. But I remember the last time we played Chelsea, in an FA Cup semi-final, and I thought. Put a crap team out. We got that time when Pep's first season. Remember that when we got stuffed at Stamford Bridge 5-1, was it? He put all the bloody kids out. Bloody awful, dreadful. It might have even been Pellegrini with the season before Pep came. I can't remember now. But we put all the kids on and got absolutely battered. But I'm hoping we'll put a strong team out, because I want the treble again, mate. I want the treble, and we're still in with the shout. So why not?
Fantastic, guys. Fantastic. All right. Well, let's leave it here for now, and then we'll be back with you after Luton. But finish off in the normal way by saying, have one on us and up the Blues.
Up the Super Blues.